If you get health insurance through work, chances are you also have some sort of wellness plan. These programs can take a lot of forms, from urging you to take the stairs to comprehensive medical screenings. But as Julie Rovner reports, there's not much evidence that they make people healthier or cut costs.
Wellness is all the rage in the ongoing quest by employers to reduce their health spending. One major survey earlier this year found that virtually all large employers and nearly three-quarters of smaller employers offer at least one wellness program. What makes them so popular? Maria Gazelle is with the Business Roundtable, which represents large firms.
It really is part of their strategy to help employees be healthy, productive, and engaged. And it's really part of their strategy to be successful companies.
There's another reason wellness has gotten so pervasive, says health consultant Al Lewis. It's a big industry.
It's somewhere between $6 and $10 billion, which creates an awful lot of people saying, do more of this stuff.
Lewis has become something of a crusader against the spread of wellness around the nation. He says among the many problems is that a lot of wellness plans are not so innocent.
We call them pry, poke, prod, and punish programs.
Under federal rules, wellness programs must, in theory, be voluntary. But more than a third of large companies are now using financial incentives, which include both rewards and penalties for those who don't participate. At Penn State last year, the university was forced to backtrack on a plan that would have required professors and other non-union workers and their spouses to undergo comprehensive health screenings every year, including measurements of cholesterol, blood sugar, and body mass. Those who declined would be charged an extra $100 a month. Employees rebelled, and the university didn't implement the fines. But for all they spend to screen thousands of people, says Lewis, most companies don't actually have that much health spending that could be saved by wellness.
In a company with 10,000 people, they might have had 10 heart attacks, of which maybe one would have been theoretically preventable with a wellness program.
That's a big reason why most independent studies have found little or no cost savings. And Lewis says that false positive results from screening low-risk people end up causing workers anxiety and their health plans still more money. But not everyone outside the wellness industry is quite so pessimistic. Harvard health economist Kate Baker is the lead author of a 2010 study that found some potential savings.
It could be that when the full set of evidence comes in, this has huge return on investment and the billions that we're spending on it are completely warranted.
Still, Baker warns that the bottom line is that no one really knows.
There are very few studies that have reliable data on both the costs and the benefits.
Meanwhile, the federal government is divided on how to regulate wellness programs. The Affordable Care Act embraces the wellness concept. It lets employers link up to 30% of premiums to participation in wellness activities. But the Independent Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is suing several companies. It says their programs discriminate against those with disabilities. Having more than one set of rules is frustrating for employers, says Maria Gazelle of the Business Roundtable.
We want to be certain that following the Affordable Care Act is what we are supposed to be doing, and that's what we believe, and there shouldn't be additional compliance requirements beyond the ACA.
The CEOs are so upset about the wellness lawsuits, they're reportedly threatening to pull their support for the health law entirely unless things are clarified, which could create one more enemy for the embattled Affordable Care Act. For NPR News, I'm Julie Rovner.
And Julie is with our partner Kaiser Health News, a nonprofit news service.